Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Karina, we would like to open up this broadcast with some just introduction. What would you like to say? We're going to talk about the subject of what faith can do for you is our subject today. You have anything you want to add before we get started here?
First of all, say hi to everyone. It is such a pleasure to be able to share this word with you. We always pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. We don't just want to talk. We want the Holy Spirit to be the one who ministers through us. So we know it's going to be not only a good word, but it's going to be a word that transforms the hearts of those who are hungry for the truth.
Amen. And as you just said, we want to open up with prayer. We prayed, but we want to pray.
That's true.
In our recording here, in our broadcast.
That's right. Let's do it.
Father, we just come before you in the precious name of Jesus, thanking you for this opportunity once again to share your word. And Lord, we don't take it lightly. We see it as an awesome privilege, but also a responsibility.
Amen.
And we ask that your Holy Spirit manifests himself through us, because you live on the inside of us by your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, Amen. You said in your word that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Let forth your river come flowing from our spirit to this podcast and to those whom you would send it to hear and receive from it. And Lord, we're humbled by that fact that we're able to be participants in this process, Lord, because it's you that we depend on for the word and to receive guidance and direction and instruction, whatever it is that you're wanting to do in this broadcast, Lord. We're totally trusting in you, and we just give you the praise in advance that you're going to do just that in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer.
Okay, so with that subject that we're going to discuss is what faith can do for you, I want to take my text from 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And I could read this from memory, but I'd like to read it actually from the scriptures itself and, you know, elaborate on that, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Okay, so 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 reads.
Now, while you're looking for that verse, we want to remind everyone it's a very good idea to have a Bible. You said you could recite it by memory, but you wouldn't be able to do that unless you read the Word of God. So it's very important to actually have a Bible and read the Word of God.
Amen.
Keep it
Amen.
In your heart, right?
Amen. You know, because the days are going to come.
That's right.
Where people are not going to have Bibles, have mm-hmm. opportunities. And we have that already in some countries.
That's true.
In North Korea, it is illegal to own a Bible. Bibles are banned in that country. People think China is bad, but North Korea is the number one persecutor against Christianity in the world. It's been on the World Watch list for many years, and it's been in position number one most of all those years. And it's obviously why. It's because the devil knows the Word of God is powerful.
That's right.
And if he can stop it, he will. So we are privileged in this country to have the Bible in many translations.
That's right.
And so we should never take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And we should do everything we can to commit as much as the Word of God to memory, as to our heart, that we may learn and understand this. Because when we're walking down the street, we may not have our Bible handy, and we need to be able to share the Word with somebody, you know.
That's right.
And the more we're in the Word, the more the Word will be in us, and the Word will come out of us by the Holy Spirit. So,
that's
good. So as we read this, it says here in verse 14 of chapter 5 in 1 John. So now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, as verse 15 starts out, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Okay, so I want to make a point first here before we get into some more depth on this, is verse 15 is contingent upon verse 14. A lot of people don't put two and two together there, you know, because the word and is a conjunction, right? This part joins with the second part. What is the first part? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions of which we've asked and desired of him. That's an important part of faith, of understanding what faith can do for you. If you know that what you're praying is the will of God, then you know you can have confidence that God is going to do what he said he would do.
Now, is this for believers or non-believers?
And this is for believers.
Okay.
You know, primarily this is taught to believers. But, you know, as we generally make a practice on our podcasts, is we want to open up the invitation to all. You know, and of course that means, you know, a time where we're going to, you know, present an invitation for them to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But even as they listen to this, they can get an understanding of how God operates through the new covenant. Because when they come into this covenant, you know, even if they're not in it right now, they can understand better about how God operates.
That's right.
So they need to know. Everyone needs to know. Christians even need to know, surprisingly, because many don't know the Word of God as much as they think they do. You know, and that God is a God of faith. He requires faith. We know that from Hebrews 11:6. It says that now, it says that faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, and some people say, well, you know, we don't know what the Greek says. Well, we have the Greek. We can look it up in the Strong's Concordance. We can look it up and see what does the original Greek says. It actually says impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. But what kind of faith is he talking about? Is it the faith that we believe that God exists? Hmm. Well, that's the first part of it, you know, because obviously we have to believe God exists. But is that enough? Is that enough faith to have that God is happy with, he's pleased with? Because if he said he's not pleased without faith, what faith is it he is expecting from people that he'll be pleased with? That he exists? Well, the Bible also says that the devils believe
that he's real.
Yet tremble, right?
Right.
That's not the kind of faith he's looking for. The kind of faith he's looking for, it goes beyond that. That's just a mere basic belief in God. When we're talking about God meeting people's needs, because this is, you know, my primary ministry calling is to the church, to Christians, to teach them and equip them in the Word of God so they can understand God better. So, well, I have a relationship with the Lord myself, someone says, and I don't need the Bible. Well, yes, you do, because God reveals himself through his Word. He reveals himself through the written word. That's the primary means he starts with. That's the foundation. Now, of course, as a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and becomes born again, they receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. But the Holy Spirit's not going to guide a person into all truth apart from the Word of God.
No, he won't.
Because we have the Word, it's been written, and we know that God operates through his Word, because he says that he and his Word are one. So when he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, we need to know that as a fact. But what does he mean by that, as I was just saying? Now, I know I've talked about some of this already in some previous broadcasts, but we were going to go off in a little different area here, because we want to continue to build upon this subject of faith, because so many people are lacking true biblical faith. They have a belief in God. They have a belief that God is able. But there's a whole lot different difference in believing God is able to knowing he is willing, and what it is that a person needs to do to meet those conditions. Because even though that God is willing, does he do it for people? You know, he says he's not willing any should perish, but does that mean he saves them automatically? Obviously not, because many people are perishing. And it says in, I think it's Matthew chapter 19, it talks about little ones, children, you know, that many perish. And it's not Jesus himself said this, that it's not the will of my Father that any one of these little ones should perish, but they are perishing every day.
It's not his will, but it's happening.
Right, so it's not his will. So when we say that, you know, God, you know, sovereignly just chooses what he wants to do when he wants to do it. That's not how he operates. And that's not the faith that he's looking for people to have. He's looking for the faith that not only do they believe that he is able, but he is willing and knowing what those conditions are that need to be met. Because what we saw in Hebrews 11:6, where he says, without faith it's impossible to please him, we see him saying that what it is he's saying, that it's impossible to please him without faith. What faith is he talking about? That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now somebody says, well, we know that's not true. Because I've asked, you know, if he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then we all should be able to just have anything we want as long as we persist. But see, this is why I started out with 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Because this gives us more perspective of understanding what God is expecting us to pray for. You know, well, I seen that woman, I want to marry her. I seen that new car I want to have. I seen, why can't I win the lottery? You know, all these different things that people are pursuing, desiring. But is that woman the one God called to be your wife? Is that car somebody else's and you're coveting it? Because the Bible says that we should not covet, right? Is it a brand new Lamborghini, $180,000 or more? And you don't need that vehicle? Or is it, you know, millions of dollars in the lottery and you would just squander the money? Well, the Bible tells us here in 1 John chapter 5 that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the key is we need to know what his will is. And how do we get to know what his will is? We get to know what he said in his word concerning his will about things. What are the things that you are asking for in prayer? For those of you who do believe in God and do pray, what are you praying for? What are you asking God to do? You know, because most prayers are based on a request, a petition to God to do something on their behalf for them, whether it's healing, whether it's a new job, whether it is healing their marriage, whatever it might be, getting direction, whatever it might be.
Saving their children. That's a prayer that goes up.
Yes.
With frequency.
But what is the will of God on that? What is the will of God on those things? Well, we know what we've read before and we spoke on before from Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus said, you know, that the Gentiles seek after the things, you know. He said, do not be like them when you pray, you know, using vain repetitions, for the heathen think they're heard for their much speaking. Don't be like them. He says, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. But he says, seek the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things that you need will be added. So it's not even a matter of needing to pray for the needs to be met. God's way of doing things is seek what does God need. What does he want? When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, what does he mean by that? Seek what God's agenda is, what his purpose is. Why did he put you here on earth? What does he want you to do to fulfill that plan and that purpose? We talked about that in the beginning about, you know, God's plan for our lives.
Right.
And a lot of people never get in tune and plugged into that to find out, why am I here? Is, of course, we've built that foundation upon establishing a relationship with God first and foremost, that we may know him. And know him through his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to save us from our sins and have a relationship with God.
And so that relationship, that beautiful relationship that God wants us to have, first of all, the beauty of it, as far as I understand, is that God himself is the one who initiates that relationship. Isn't that beautiful, right? God is the one who initiates that relationship, and then he is also the one who sets the terms of that relationship. Because sometimes we hear somebody say, yeah, I know God exists, but I love him my way. I've heard that so many times. I love God my way. But there is no such thing as loving God our way, because God is the one, first of all, who initiates the relationship and who even extends the love so that we can actually love him. So we can only love God way, the God way, the only true God, His way. And that's important. So as you're saying that, things are coming here through my heart, through my mind. And when you are sharing about seeking God's will, we have to seek God's will God's way.
Amen.
Right? So that's important for our listeners and for us to remember and keep that in mind, because I think we innately want to do things our way, but God is so good that He teaches us the best way, not only the best way, but the correct way to seek Him and to also pursue His will so that we can actually see results.
Absolutely. Yes, you hit the nail right on the head, sweetheart. And this is so key to the relationship about praying and seeking God, you know, because most people don't really establish the relationship with Him like they ought to based on His conditions. It's their relationship with Him based on their conditions.
Right.
You know, how often do they want to have time to spend with Him? How often do they want to seek Him and be in relationship with Him? And most of it just happens to be based upon need. Well, I need this. I need that. So I go to God in prayer. And God does make those provisions for us to come to Him in prayer. That's part of His system. But it's also predicated upon His desire for us to have a relationship with Him and do things His way. So when He says, you know, even in Mark 11:24, therefore those things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Well, obviously we can take that completely the wrong way and says, well, I believe I desire to win the lottery then. I believe I desire to have that woman or whatever it might be. And yet we know the scriptures teaches us that there are things that we can pray for that's not the will of God. And God's not going to hear those prayers. You know,
you said something very important in terms of being aligned with God's word. And as you were setting those examples about the lotto and I want that person as a spouse or as a mate, also came to mind the other side of it. Somebody could be praying or thinking that they're praying according to God's will for somebody else's harm. Somebody may have bitterness in their heart and they have a desire for something not good to happen to someone. And you actually think that because that person wronged you, and they really did, that you are justified in asking God, or you truly believe that something bad should happen to that person. However, we have to remember that when we bring somebody before the Lord, the first thing that comes out of the Lord, because that's who He is love for that other person as well. And so God is going to deal with that person first of all with His love and take it from there. So that's also important. Not only the good things I desire, but also seeking God's will with things that are not so good that are in my heart and that I come to God for.
Yes, it's very important. And somebody listening to this broadcast might be thinking, you know, Keith and Karina, what's all this got to do with your subject of what can faith do
too
for you? Well, it's first understanding the foundation of what faith is and what it should be built upon. It should be built upon believing in God, His way, coming to Him His way, submitting and surrender to His will and plan and purpose for your life. And then as you pray out things that you need,
right,
then He can meet those needs. You can exercise faith for them then, because He says without faith it's impossible to please Him, that he who comes to God must believe that He is, but must believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So obviously that diligently seeking Him starts with the foundation of relationship.
That's right.
But is also built upon diligently seeking Him for the things that you have need of. But yet He says, and Jesus says in, you know, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. That's a petition.
That's right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does God want? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He didn't say you couldn't ask for those things, but he says make the priority first what God wants. And so when we talk about what can faith do for you, it can do a lot if it's built upon the proper foundation. Because a lot of people get the idea when they hear the subject of faith, you know, and it excites them. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we can exercise faith that God will hear our prayer. You know, as Mark 11:24 says, therefore, those things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, that has to be understood in context with other things that the Lord himself has said and what's said in the word. Because he also says, you know, in James, he says that you have not because you ask not, but you also ask amiss. You do not receive the things from God because you're asking for things that is outside the will of God, you know. And he calls them adulterers, you know, and to be friends with the world is to be an enemy against God. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't quote that verse perfectly, but the point is that I'm getting at is once we establish a relationship with the Lord based upon his terms, then we can learn to exercise faith for the things that he's provided for us. And when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, that doesn't mean we don't pray and ask and we don't seek what his will is to find out what is his will, because we need to know his will. This is why it says in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. It says that this is the confidence that we have in him. Think about that.
That's an amazing promise.
This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know we have it. So the confidence isn't just knowing that he's heard us, but I mean, knowing that we prayed the will of God, but knowing that he heard us. And so when you're praying, do you have that confidence that God heard you and that God is going to do it? Or you scratch your head wondering, I just don't know. I don't know if this is the will of God. Or you also are in that position where you know you have not surrendered to the Lord to submit to his will and his way of doing things. So therefore, you're not going to have confidence. Your heart will condemn you. Because you know you're not following him, you're not submitted to him, not surrendered to him to follow his plan and purpose for your life. So you're not going to have the confidence that you need. If you have anything that resembles that, then it's false. It's a false hope. And this is something I want to dispel about faith, because a lot of times people get the wrong impression about the teaching of faith. They think, well, the teaching of faith is just to get people to have faith that God will answer their prayers. But God doesn't answer everybody's prayers just because they have, quote, faith. Because a lot of people are praying things outside the will of God. And a lot of people are also praying for things they don't qualify for because they're not surrendered to God. Well, Lord, I want you to give me this better job. I want more money. I need more money. Well, is that the job God wants you to have? Is that the place he wants you to live? You know, are you living in the place he wants you to be and working at the company he wants you to work for? And if you're wanting a new job and more money, maybe he wants you at the job you're currently at. He don't want you to move to that new job.
And something also important, and if I may jump in, is some, and everybody I think would say, yes, of course, who doesn't need more money? But the question, are we being good stewards of the money we already have as well? Sometimes we want more of something when what we already have, we're still not stewarding correctly, honoring God with what we have. So why would God even trust us with more if we're not being responsible and good stewards and glorifying God with what we already have?
That's exactly a very good point, because most people, want more and more and more, and they're never satisfied with what they do have. And Scripture even talks about that the desires for the riches, you know, choke out the word. You know, Jesus talked about that in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. And he said that, you know, desires for other things choke out the word, and also that the lust for riches and pleasures in this life are things that nullify the Word of God from operating in their life. Because if God needs you to do a certain thing, to work at a certain company, or to live in a certain city because He needs you there for His divine purposes, then when you're asking Him for, I want this promotion, I want this new job, I need more money to provide for my family, He says, seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, and the things that you need will be provided. But He's not obligated to answer someone's prayer for this or this or that if they're not submitted to Him. And that's something they need to understand about faith. Faith is not like a magic wand or a magic button you push that if I just have faith that God will answer my prayer because, you know, I hear Brother Keith or Sister Karina or whoever talking about how faith can do things for you. And it can, but it needs to be predicated on the proper relationship with God. So when I'm having faith for God to heal my body, I'm having faith for God to give me that promotion, it's predicated on I'm surrendered to God's will. If that's where He wants me to be, He's going to do that because He said He would meet my needs according to His riches and glory. But am I surrendered to Him to do what He wants me to do? And if I'm not, He is not obligated to answer that prayer whatsoever because He says that if we pray anything according to His will, He hears us. And that's the confidence that we have. If we pray that and we have confidence because we know we're submitted to Him, we're surrendered to Him to do His will, then we know that He heard us in our prayers. But then there's this another condition we might have to do a part two on this subject is, when people are praying for specific things, do they know whether that specific thing itself is the will of God? I know we've been talking about this, but when we talk about the covenant of healing, as we did in a previous series, you know, part one and part two of the covenant, God's covenant of healing, is many people do not even know that there is a covenant of healing that belongs to the believer.
That's true.
And faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word. Yeah. What does the word say about your healing? What does it say about diseases? Is it God's will to put diseases on people? You know, a lot of people think that it is, you know, but yet we read and we know from scriptures, because the word of God is God's word, that sickness and disease is actually under the curse. Poverty even is under the curse. It's not God's will for people to suffer. That's not His perfect will for them. His perfect will is for His people to prosper and to be blessed. But again, they got to come God's way. So we'd like to, before we close here,
absolutely,
we'd like to add anything
to
this.
Just listening to all of this, it just brings this warmth to the heart and the spirit, because to think that God Almighty, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who sustains everything with the power of His word, His breath, His presence, His goodness, He wants to have a relationship with us. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I certainly not just hope, but I pray, I am fully convinced that the Holy Spirit is touching lives right now and just making His love, the God's love, aware to you in such a way that you know that He wants you to have this relationship with you. I remember the other day watching a commercial, and it's young students who are coming out of high school and going into colleges, and they're applying to different colleges. And so they are waiting, just waiting and hoping that the college of their dream accepts them so that they may spend the next, whatever, 4 years in that place. And then the commercial shows when they receive the acceptance letter. And you should see the screaming, the jumping, the joy, because they have been accepted into the college of their dream. Now, can you imagine the God who made us, the joy that we should have just by listening? This is why this is so beautiful, this podcast, because I know that there are people, there's people that want to know, and things that that's not being done right. It's not because the desire is not there. It's just that they have not been taught. We learn, we grow as we learn. So here we are teaching the word, and you're doing a great job teaching the word as the Holy Spirit leads you. Can you only imagine the joy that we should have jumping up and down by the fact, the true fact, that the Lord accepts you. The Lord wants you to come to Him, surrender who you are, accept His love, what He did on the cross for you, and tell Him, yes, Jesus, I accept your love. I accept your sacrifice. I accept that you are my Savior, and I give you my heart. That should be the one good news that brings the greatest joy to every single person on the planet, because definitely that is why Jesus came to earth and died on the cross, so that every person who is listening can have the knowledge, not only the knowledge, but the certainty. Listen to the invitation that the Holy Spirit is giving you right now. Come to Jesus, give Him your life, surrender to Him, and He will forgive your sins and just wash you and make you as white as snow. And that is a beautiful thing to know, that it's available for you, to you. And that is the heart of God. Now, talk about God's will. That's definitely what God wants for every person. It's very sad that not everybody accepts that beautiful gift. But we certainly pray that every person who is listening will definitely accept this beautiful gift.
Amen. That's beautiful that you add that, because there's so many people who are going to listen to this podcast. You know, right now, you know, we're starting as beginning stages of our ministry with this podcast, but we envision for what God put in our heart that it's going to reach many, many people
in years to come,
you know, because it's going to be put out there. And we know this for a fact, that as we've listened to other men and women of God, you know, who have even passed on the next life, their podcasts, their YouTube videos, things are still teaching and preaching, going on and on and on, even though they're not here, and having an impact. And we believe this is going to have an impact. And with this particular podcast and subject about what faith can do for you, and the confidence that we have in Him when we pray according to His will, I would say that that has to be the first level of confidence, is that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You've surrendered to God, and now you know that you are in covenant relationship with Him.
That's right.
And now you're entitled to covenant benefits,
beautiful
rights and privileges that others do not have. They have not been extended to them because they've not entered into that covenant. And what a beautiful thing that Jesus would come and die on the cross.
Amazing.
Because He loved us so much.
That's
that
right.
He wanted to save us and bring us into a relationship with Him and the Father, and have this precious gift called His Holy Spirit.
Beautiful.
To come live on the inside of us, to guide us in everyday affairs of our life. I mean, what a powerful thing to have the Most High God live on the inside of us, to guide us and lead us and direct our lives. If we will surrender to Him, we can have confidence that God will lead us and teach us according to His will, and teach us how to exercise the faith that we need to learn. Because faith is very vital and important to our relationship with the Lord. But it can't be just a faith that we have based upon our conditions. It has to be based upon His conditions and the way He wants things done, because He knows all things. We do not. And the first level of humility to me is understanding we don't know much of anything. God knows everything. And if we're smart enough, we'll surrender to Him and His will, and we'll be on our way.
That's it. The gospel is good news, and we are so grateful that we're able to share the good news of the gospel with you today.
So we thank you for listening in, and we'll see you next time. God bless you all.
God bless you. See you then.
Amen.